The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, and right now the only place you can hear it.
Okay, you didn't get that fixed, huh?
I can't figure out what's wrong with it.
I thought you did this whole...
No, I can't. I can't solve it.
I know you can't solve it, but I thought you had this whole scheme where you helped the guy move and he was
I don't know if Aaron can solve it, honestly, either.
What the hell?
I'm not sure what's wrong with it. I'm not sure what happened. I'll figure it out eventually. But for now,
okay.
Somebody asked me in messages. They're like, "Well, what's the best software to use that you can listen to?" And I'm like, "I just go to the website, and click on the link, man. That's all I got for you right now. I don't know what else to do." The problem is when that website when our website was created, like the actual information you're supposed to send out to these podcast things is built into the website, and I can't figure out how to separate it. And that's been the main issue.
Okay, look.
Without, like, redesigning a website, which, no offense, I'm not doing.
I know that, for whatever reason, the guy who designed the website is being, like, doesn't really... Can't you, like, at least... Can't you talk to him?
I've tried.
But, I mean, seriously, like, about this, though. Like, say, please, dude, something's going on. We can't fix it.
I'm going to try to solve it on my own before I don't... I got some more stuff to look at, but... I'm going to try to solve it on my own before I go that route, because that's like pulling teeth, and...
I know it's like pulling teeth, but sometimes you gotta pull teeth.
I don't need that stress in my life right now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Man, I don't. Trust me. I don't need that stress in my life right now.
If you want to talk about it, we'll talk
about it off air.
Off air.
We'll talk about it off air.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I know your tummy was wumbly today.
No, there's something else going on, I'll tell you about.
Oh, wait, is this an ongoing thing that we have spoken about before?
No. All right. No, not at all.
So nobody's stolen any local animals?
No. Okay. No, nothing's happened like that.
I know. He can steal you.
Yeah. Super 7 teased one of their upcoming figures for, I don't know what wave of Silverhawks Ultimates this is. Wave 2, I guess. Wave 3?
I don't know.
But they teased Molecular.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he was never a fan of that character, although he's neat looking. I always thought he was one of the coolest vintage toys because his little things like popped off of him and you could put attachments on his arm.
So like a bat. Like a battle android trooper.
Kinda, yeah, but he was...
Like Steve Austin.
He was made out of... Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No.
Oh.
The other Steve Austin.
Oh, there's only one Steve Austin in my mind.
No, there's Colonel Steve
that's
Austin.
That's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's Colonel Steve Austin.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
Stronger, better, faster.
Dude, Austin... Stone Cold would stun his ass. He'd be like, "Kick me with that stunner!"
The real Steve Austin would go...
No, Austin...
Because slow motion means fast.
Austin would dodge that, kick him into the corner, and then stop a mud hole in him. And walk it dry.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he would.
Feed him to Bigfoot.
Andre?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, see, all comes back to wrestling.
Even though Bigfoot was apparently a space robot.
Yes, he was. Apparently, Super 7 also had an update to their Wave 3 G.I. Joe reaction line. The six previously announced figures, Roadblock, Flint, Snake Eyes, Cobra Commander, Baroness, and Firefly, will be joined by G.I. Joe, 9 variations of female G.I. Joe combat engineers and Cobra Snakeling factory workers.
What?
So the troop builders, basically.
Girl troop builders.
For both good and bad. So we got Joes and Cobras.
So basically, variants of Lady J... And variants of some other...
I was trying to see if they had better pictures, but they don't. It's just like these... I mean...
That's not a girl.
That's a girl.
That's a girl.
Oh, that's a dude. Yeah, there's some dudes and there's some girls. Oh, maybe... Okay, so the Cobras are...
So the Cobras are just dudes.
Yeah, the Cobras are just dudes and the Joes are women. Yeah.
You see, I don't remember...
All right, well, there you go.
I don't remember that on the show.
I don't either, but... comic. You know, it's Super 7's doing their own thing with some of it. So,
okay.
You know, more power to them. Also, they're continuing to milk the Shogun Godzilla mold that they made for the reaction figures. This time they're releasing an exclusive Super 7 1200 degrees Celsius Shogun Godzilla, which is basically a Godzilla molded in translucent orange. Yeah.
Some yellow.
Yeah, to look like the sun. You can purchase him right now at Super7.com at $25. Okay. Okay, so injected in translucent bright orange as an homage to the 1990 film Godzilla vs. Destoroyah.
Well, I assume he got radioactive or something at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had like 100 films.
Yeah, boy, did he.
You get 100 films, you're gonna be turned into the sun eventually. This is a truism.
It's just
happened to James Bond. It happened to Godzilla.
It's just gonna keep coming. Then also Super 7's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Ultimates Wave 3. They revealed those earlier this week. They include Billy, Zack, Lord Zedd.
Talked last week about them teasing Lord
Zedd. Oh, Finster, that's his name. I was like, the hell's his name? Finster, a Megazord. So the Dino Megazord. Mm-hmm. You'll also be able to order Lord Zedd's throne, which will be sold separately. Mm-hmm. So they look good. I mean, the Megazord looks really cool.
You know, to be fair, Power Rangers was way past my time.
Right.
So I don't have an attachment.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it's like you've got actual Power Rangers and you've got Hasbro Power Rangers. I guess Hasbro is actual Power Rangers.
The Lightning Collection.
But, I mean, you've got plenty of Power Rangers to choose from at this point.
I like Finster because in the show, he was the one that created all the putties and he sculpted all the monsters they brought to life and stuff for Rita. And he comes with this little sculpting table with tools and a little, like, little sculpting stuff. So it's kind of neat. He didn't last very long in the series. Finster wasn't around, but like maybe part of season one, and then he just kind of slowly vanished.
Aww.
Yeah, because I feel like they used up all the footage of that character because he wasn't. Yeah. Hot Toys showed off their 1/6 scale Moon Knight. So we get the Mark Spector version of Moon Knight. Because there's two different versions.
In the show, yes.
Authentic likeness and detailed costume of Moon Knight, newly developed head sculpt with hood and LED light-up function design on the eyes, which is kind of cool. Wrapped in sculpted bandages.
Okay.
I know. Again, man, Hot Toy stuff just...
Oh, it always looks great.
Oh, yeah. And that... I love the figures that are actually in, like, outfits because they look better than, like, some of the stuff where, like, skin's exposed because of how they do the joints sometimes. And you're like, it kind of throws off the whole...
Maybe, sometimes.
Yeah. But he'll be available probably in 3 years.
Yeah, probably.
Second, third quarter next year. So, okay, yeah.
It was a ways away.
Yeah, quite a ways away. Takes them a while to get those...
It does. They're long on announcements, short on actually getting stuff out.
Yeah. And then Sideshow's got a new 1/6 scale figure of Yoda, but this time it is a version of Yoda from the Clone Wars. So, figure is available for pre-order currently at SideshowCollectibles.com, priced at $165. Scheduled to ship between December of this year and March of next year. So, if you like the Clone Wars aesthetic, this is a 1/6 scale figure for you.
Did not. That was always one of the biggest hurdles to get past with that show.
Yeah.
It felt like as it went along, they kind of moved away from
that aesthetic.
Yeah.
Super 7 also showed off their Transformers Super Shogun Optimus Prime.
Haven't they done that before?
I don't think they've done Optimus. They did Soundwave, they did Megatron. Okay. I think Optimus is new. But of course, Optimus stands 24 inches tall. He's got wheels on his feet so he can roll into combat action. Has a spring-loaded rocket-firing left fist and removable ion blaster. And comes with a sticker sheet for customizable display. Hmm. In addition, his chest will open up to reveal a removable matrix of leadership.
Oh, nice.
They're currently on Super7.com now at $350.
Yipes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Super
Shogun. That price like about a real Shogun Warrior.
Yeah. See, I remember in the back of the day when Super 7, this is all they did was like Shogun Warrior because they did Star Wars.
Yeah.
They had Star Wars license.
Stormtrooper.
Yeah, they did the Stormtrooper, and that's what put them on the map, and that's what set them down this path of becoming the company they are today because of that.
Yeah.
So I remember those.
I do too.
Yeah. Mezco has a new 5 points box set.
Hey, is it the Pyramid Head and the Nurse?
It is. Silent Head 2. Deluxe box set. The bubble-headed nurse and the pyramid and red pyramid thing is what they call him. Yeah.
Hey, Silent Hill is the nurse and the pyramid head guy.
Yeah, the two characters
that they always do.
Yeah, that they always do. That are always made.
Pretty sure there's more versions of Jason Voorhees than there are Silent Hill characters.
They're not bad for 5 points of articulation figures. I mean, they look really good.
Well, I mean, just because they have limited articulation doesn't mean the sculpt has to be simplistic.
Exactly.
Reaction.
Yeah, no shit. Well, that was more Funko's involvement.
They're still not like top notch.
Yeah, but they've gotten better.
They've gotten better.
The box set for the two figures and the diorama is only $44.
Well, they're 5 points. I mean, they're probably small too.
Yeah,
they're
3/4 inch figures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually quite a bit of money for 2 3/4 inch figures and a diorama.
What was it?
$55 or $44.
Not nowadays.
Yeah.
Not nowadays, my son.
Yeah. NECA showed off their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon version of the Turtle Van last week as well.
Okay.
Though it is currently up for pre-order, $250.
That's not bad.
Nope, it's up for pre-order until 4/19. You can go to the NECAstore.com and pre-order it. You can also do it with payment installments. But $250 is not a bad price for that.
For 2022,
yeah.
No,
it's not. Considering the Super 7.
1989, I got mine for $40, blah, blah.
Considering
blah.
The Super 7 one was like $350 or something like that.
Yeah, Super 7 stuff's a little crazy.
But it's cool. It features a bunch of cool little features and gimmicks, including the gun that you can put on the sidecar seat with the bombs, and the roof opens up like in the cartoon, and it's got some little fun area inside that you can put turtles in that with a little ladder to climb up and stuff. So it's kind of neat. It's cool. I think it's worth it for $250 if you're buying the cartoon line.
I mean, there's a lot of qualifications, but otherwise, yeah, it's cool. If you really like turtles, if you like the cartoon style,
yeah,
I would say if you don't already have one,
you should probably pick one up.
Well, not probably, but I mean, it's probably it might be worth it.
True.
That's probably what you would pay for a vintage.
Yes. NECA announced a new video game to pit humans against xenomorphs is coming out, called Aliens Fireteam Elite, and of course NECA is making figures for this new game.
Okay.
So we get a runner alien and a prowler alien, which they both kind of look the same.
The heads are different.
Yeah, the heads are different. No word on human figures for the game, but right now those are the two aliens that we'll be getting with the release of that game. Whenever that game comes out, it could be a thing like Disney's Mirrorverse that figures came out for it like last year, and people are like, "What the hell are these for?" And then the game announcement just dropped. Like,
no. Fireteam. I've seen people talk about Fireteam.
Really?
That's why I thought maybe it was already out.
Interesting. This past Wednesday was the Star Wars fans' first day, so we got a bunch of reveals.
Sure.
So we got the Black Series 6-inch Sergeant Creel.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Him from that thing.
Yeah. I don't know what actually it's from.
I block, man, at this point.
The character of Sergeant Creel, formerly Undercover Agent 5241, serves as the leader of an elite group of SCAR troopers, Task Force 99, under the direct command of Darth Vader.
Thought that was the 501st.
Yeah, well. We get a Star Wars Vintage Collection figurine down.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Figuring Dan.
I'm actually that one's. I like that one. That one's cool because they never did him in the 70s.
Yeah, no.
I like that on a vintage card.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool.
So that'd probably be one you'll pick up.
It's already pre-ordered.
There you go. We get a Mandalorian Death Watch Airborne Trooper.
Yeah, I didn't get an extra one of those.
No. That one's on a vintage Star Wars Clone
Wars.
These
are all vintage. Yeah. Like at this point, it's Black Series and vintage at this point.
Yeah. The Mandalorian Super Commando Captain. Which is kind of neat because he's got like a Darth Maul type-ish head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of neat. Black Series Gaming Greats RC-1207 Sev.
Sure.
Which is from... I don't know what game that's from. Star Wars Republic Commando. There we go. We get a Black Series 6-inch Deluxe Box Princess Leia Organa.
That's Leia? I thought that was Padme.
No, that's Leia.
Hmm.
Inspired by the Star Wars Princess Leia comic book.
Okay.
we get a six-inch Infinity's Darth Vader.
That story I know.
Yep.
That's the one where Darth Vader turns good before dying and Luke dies.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That's actually a really good story, too. It's a really good comic book story.
Yeah.
Yeah, Star Wars Infinity's Return of the Jedi, where, just like Dave said, Vader duels Luke aboard the second Death Star when Leia arrives, revealing that she, too, is a Skywalker. Unable to confront both his children, he turns from the dark side. He reemerges as a Jedi once more, clad all in white. And it's actually a really cool look for that figure. I think so.
I mean, they did that one for the 4-inch scale a long time ago.
Yeah. And then we get a new Star Wars Retro Collection Chewbacca Prototype Edition, which drives me nuts. They call them prototype editions because that's not how the Star Wars prototypes were made. They weren't done in multicolor plastic.
Why can't those be the exclusives that Target gets?
Right.
And screws up.
I know. We get a 3¾-inch Star Wars Expanded Universe Shane Vizia. Shay Vizsla. Sorry, Jesus. I couldn't read it and I should have scrolled down. She is from Star Wars The Old Republic video game.
I think they did her before.
Have they?
I think so.
She's kind of cool. She's got a neat helmeted head and some cool...
I remember the fire projector.
Yeah. And then we get a Star Wars Battlefront 2 Lando Calrissian, which is Dave and I were talking
before. Well, yeah, it's weird because that's also the outfit he wore at the end of Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah,
I was excited for that one.
Another Childish Gambino figure.
Well, that I don't care about, but
fair enough.
I just like Lando.
Oh yeah, and then we get a Star Wars Vintage Collection 3¾-inch Imperial Death Trooper 4-pack.
Meh.
Which Dave is not excited about.
Well, I mean, I bought them when they did Rogue One. So, yeah. Like I don't need a bunch of reissues.
We get a 3¾-inch Star Wars Clone Wars ARC Trooper Jesse.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I didn't watch Clone Wars.
And then we get the Black Series Trapper Wolf Electronic Helmet.
That's Dave Filoni.
Yep. And then we get a Black Series Saw Gerrera.
Yeah, from Clone Wars.
Yeah, from Clone Wars.
Not Clone Wars, from Rogue One.
Rogue One, yeah.
Although he was in Clone Wars.
He was. Which is kind of cool. I don't think they haven't done a Black Series figure of him, did they?
Clone Wars? Or Black Series of Saw
Gerrera, yeah.
I don't think they did, no. Yeah. They did a foreign figure of him.
Yeah. It's cool. Cool stuff, man.
I don't know. By the time Rogue One came out, I was really kind of tuning out the Black Series.
Right.
So.
Well, you had cherry picked most of them, and.
The thing is with Black Series, I didn't get into it at first, which is why all the expensive first waves I don't have.
Right.
Because it was another line, and back in the day, it was like, the thing of the Black Series was it was supposed to be only the top notch, A list.
Yeah.
Han, Luke, Leia, yeah. Darth Vader, and we weren't gonna do deep dives into these obscuro characters. And then Force Awakens came out, and it was like, here's every character in the movie
in the
Black Series.
Yeah.
Including, of course, Constable Zuvio.
Yeah.
So it just became like a weird... It was like, for the new movies, they would do everybody. For the old movies, they were kind of like very...
Right.
They hardly ever... For a long time, they never did prequel characters.
Right.
Except I think, for Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Which were
always the two that they went back to. I mean, eventually, they did like the droids, and they did Jar Jar as a Target exclusive.
Yeah.
So, and so I don't know if they did Saw originally or not, because I wasn't.
I gotcha. Recently at auction, a number one of Captain America comics sold for $3.1 million.
Yikes.
It was sold by Heritage Auction and now ranks as one of the most expensive comics ever sold. Of course, published in 1940 and introducing us to Captain America with a famous cover of him knocking out Adolf Hitler on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $3.1 million.
Yikes.
And sadly, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 was originally supposed to be released today. It was supposed to come out April 8th.
I'm sorry that you're sad that movie was going to be released.
I know. I wanted to see it.
My joke did not come out right. So when's it supposed to come out now?
It is coming out... I think later this year. I think Christmas time this year.
Wow. Yeah. That is a delay.
Yeah. Apparently Stephen Amell is game to return to Oliver Queen as the Arrowverse, even though he's dead. dead.
So he wants to be Arrowverse in the Oliver Queen series.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's literally what you just said.
Did I?
Yes. You said it backwards.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry. Oh, God.
I mean, is the Arrowverse still a thing?
I mean, it is. I mean, you still have... Batwoman. is
no,
on.
You don't. No, you don't.
Did they cancel it?
They canceled it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got canceled.
Well, it's just Flash and Legends now.
Okay.
Legends is still, like, Legends has become a completely different show. And it's, apparently, I haven't watched it in several years now. But I keep getting told by different people, like, you need to go back and watch it because it's become a completely,
I've heard people say good things about
it. Yeah, it's become
I've
heard, such an entertaining show.
Apparently. I've heard there's an arc with Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
And then this last year's arc was the ship got destroyed and they got stuck in, like, the 1920s or something, and they were trying to rebuild it. And at the end of it, we got introduced to Booster Gold.
I heard that.
Yeah, because it's played by, what's his face from Scrubs?
That show had a lot of actors.
Damn it, what is his name?
Hold on. I don't know! Sarah Chalk?
No, it's not Sarah Chalk. Donald Faison. I was like, crap, what the hell is his name? Turk.
Okay.
And I swear to God, if Zach Braff doesn't voice
Skeets?
Yes. I will be sad. Because that just makes sense.
Yeah, well, kind of.
But yeah, the Legends apparently is a really good show.
Sure.
Yeah, apparently for the first time ever on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, it now says a Kevin Feige production.
Okay.
Never had a producer link like that before. Mm-hmm. It's always been a Marvel Studios production, and now it is a Kevin Feige production.
Maybe he bought Marvel from Disney.
No, I doubt that.
I know there was a big thing.
He's just got a lot of... There's a lot of weight behind his name now, and they're going to rightfully...
I guess.
I mean, he's one of the top producers in Hollywood. He's produced more hits in Hollywood than...
Okay.
As a producer.
Like... Okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying there's literally one producer in my history of Earth that I ever like paid attention to and go, oh, I will consider that film because that guy produced it.
Yeah.
And that person is Steven Spielberg.
True.
Like any other producer credit, I'm like, I don't. From the guy who brought you this movie, so what? But what I'm saying, like, part of the reason I'm not impressed is because movies are made by a lot of people.
Right.
And just because Feige has produced a lot of good films, not every Marvel movie was a hit.
No, it's true.
And not every movie he's been involved with. Because I think he was involved with Morbius.
Yeah, he was.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, the... I don't remember who they are, but the two brothers who directed the last couple of Avengers.
Yeah.
Like they seem to be really good directors.
Yeah.
Like... Was it Kevin Feige who made Endgame really good, or was it director? Or was it, like, the fact that they, unlike Star Wars, had people sit around and come up with a fucking plan know what they were doing?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Sorry. Not better at all.
No, not at all.
But what I'm saying is, okay, Kevin Feige produces, well, you know, better hope that movie's good then.
Yeah.
Like, I think it looks cool. Whereas producers don't impress me, I will say the thing that the reason I want to see that movie... is because Sam Raimi's directing it.
Yes.
Because he's a cool director, and I like him. I love the Spider-Man movies, and I think actually, ironically, Doctor Strange is probably a bit better fit for him.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Even though apparently he really loves Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But, like, aside from the one scene from Spider-Man 2 in the hospital with Doc Ock.
Oh.
Which is a Sam Raimi
Yeah, it's moment. An Evil Dead moment.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. I was watching a... video the other day, and they were talking about how it's like the best Evil Dead movie that's not an Evil Dead movie.
Yeah, it really is.
So, but yeah. Yeah, they were doing a review of Darkman, actually.
Nice.
What secrets does the darkness hold? So anyway.
Over at Avengers Campus in Disneyland in California, you can currently meet Mr. Knight. The alternate identity of the hero from Moon Knight. So weeks ago, we got Moon Knight sightings where he was sighted on top of the building at Avengers Campus.
Yeah.
And now we've got Moon Knight, Mr. Knight, actually talking to people and meeting them, which is kind of cool.
That's probably because and for those of you who don't know, the difference is that the one Moon Knight is kind of got the mummy kind of gear, with the hood.
Yeah.
And Mr. Knight is basically a dude in a white suit.
Yeah, basically. Which we'll talk about.
Yeah, later. We will. Yeah. But I just for people who aren't like, there are people that listen to the show that aren't up on all this.
True.
And thirdly, to complicate further matters, in the comics, Mr. Knight is actually a separate persona like Stephen is to Mark.
Right,
there's
right.
Stephen, Mark, and Mr. Knight.
Yeah.
So,
but there's also like he's got like
Down the road they came like because apparently originally it was kind of like a shadow type thing where these were like aliases.
Yeah.
That he was like, and then all of a sudden someone was like, well,
if he was a schizophrenic?
Well, it's not schizophrenic. I'm trying to remember the right.
Multiple personality disorder. Yeah.
And like, what if they were really actually just different personalities? And then they started throwing.
Yeah. If you haven't watched the show, it's brilliant.
It's really
two like episodes in, and it's brilliant.
It's weird because okay, I know that
it's a slow burn.
I know that
wonderful.
No, it's not.
This episode feels like a slow burn, but in a good way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe. I was never bored. I was never checking watch.
No.
Rarely like at this point. I think we're all addicted to our phones, but I was rarely playing on my phone.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember what my point was. I was gonna say, it's weird. Like I know we make jokes about my terrible eyes. But, like, people keep bitching about the CGI. And I'm like, is it really that bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I didn't see anything like... Dude, we've both seen bad CGI.
I grew up with bad CGI.
Yeah, it is not bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's noticeably bad. No. I mean, it might not be, like, super top-notch movie quality, but I didn't think it was bad. And my thing is...
I thought it was perfectly... talking about the creature, because the creature...
I'm just watching a mere big screen TV with my terrible eyes where you've got a home theater system with your young man eyes, but
yeah,
you're youthful. I don't know. It didn't distract me. And I think this is a classic example of if you're invested in the thing,
right,
you can get away with maybe not having the most top notch.
True.
I guess. Cause I haven't noticed that they were bad.
Yeah. It's true.
So it's just weird. It's like people are like, CGI is bad. I'm like, I didn't even notice. Because I was so invested in the story.
Right.
And Ethan Hawke. It's sad. I don't even know what his character's name is. But he's like easily one of my favorite MCU villains.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, 100%.
I don't even know his stupid name.
100%. I love that. Well, let's talk about Moon Knight episode 2.
Let's just do anything but talk about Mobius.
Yeah. I don't. As much as people would probably like to hear our talk. Well, here. I'll sum it up for this. And you know from years of listening to this program that... I'm a pretty easygoing guy when it comes to movies.
He is the anti-Mikey when it comes to movies.
And movies, if they're bad, I find something to like at them.
Well, I was going to say, one of my favorite things about you, because I didn't mention the reviews, because I know that whenever you hear the reviews are bad, you do this thing where you're just going to like, I'm going to see it for myself, and I'm not going to listen to reviews. Yeah. And the best is when the movie's really terrible, but you won't admit it.
Oh,
and you're like, I just, no, the cinematography was... Okay.
Yeah, I love it
when you refuse to admit the reviews were right.
The only thing I enjoyed in it was what a lot of the other reviewers enjoyed in it was Matt Smith.
I didn't even enjoy him.
He was like their thoughts on him was the same as mine. Like he was the most enjoyable part of that movie because he was just
that one scene where he was weird and dancing, right? That's basically.
Yeah. I know at one point I turned to Dave and I went, "Hey, yo, Doctor Who got weird."
Yeah, that was the scene where he was kind of half naked and dancing.
It's not a great movie. I'll just leave it at that. There's nothing to discuss. It's not good.
What's weird? Well, no, I want to discuss a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little tiny bit.
Okay.
Because people make it sound like it's like Plan 9 from Outer Space.
It's not that bad, but it's not a good movie.
The weird thing is it's not that bad, but it's almost kind of worse.
Yeah.
Because it's not bad. It's really the movie itself isn't bad. There's dumb stuff in it, but the stuff is not really that much dumber than any other superhero movie if you really think about it. But it's not good.
No.
Like, there's nothing good in it. There's nothing, like... Okay, yeah, Doctor Who dances with his shirt off for, like, 5 seconds. But, like, that... Okay, I guess your attachment to Matt Smith varies, but...
True.
But there's just not... Like, it's just there. Like, the story holds together just fine, more or less.
Yeah.
There's dumb science, but there's dumb science in a bunch of other movies. There's dumb CGI, but there's dumb CGI in other... Like, it's just there. It's not even memorably, enjoyably bad.
It's
just is.
Honestly,
Until the end. The end, like, the post-credit stuff is garbage.
Yeah,
like,
it
that's
was.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just boring. It's just there. It's just CGI vampire.
Sony got the wrong director for the wrong project, and it just... It's not somebody who could carry a superhero movie, and he tried to make it all... My view on it is the director almost tried to make it like this... He wanted it to be some, like, weird, dark, you know...
Did he?
I felt that way, because it was like, when you saw Morbius flying and moving, you're like, I can't even tell what the hell it is. It's all shadowy and weird.
Yeah, it's all dumb CGI, and there's weird strands coming off. Yeah, and it's like, is that stuff coming off them, or is it like light streaks? Or
yeah, I mean, it's made $91 million worldwide.
Okay, well, that's not that great.
No, it's not that great at all. Considering, you know, when it's
opened, probably cost like $200 million.
Oh, I'm sure. It was probably not a cheap movie to make.
Not with all that CGI.
Sony riding high off of Spider-Man No Way Home, which turned it into the biggest, you know, the biggest box office company in the world for a little bit there.
Well, yeah, and that's the weird thing. It's like Sony's never underestimate the power of ego, especially in a Hollywood executive.
Yep.
You're Sony, and I think Tom Rothman understands this, and I think it's like the Amy Pascals and the lower level people who have the egos. Rothman's like, I can sit here and do nothing, and one of my rivals makes a movie that's like a billion dollar blockbuster, yeah, and I get to collect a big chunk of that money and literally do nothing.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, no, but we want to make our own Spider-Man movie with the living vampire. It's like, why?
Yeah, why would we do that?
Why would we do this?
Yeah. Why would we do this thing?
Because I have to assume that the MCU Spider-Man movies count, because they've got to make a movie to keep the license.
Right.
It's like, why are we wasting money on this? Because we're going to do a Sinister Six movie. Why? Why are you people wasting my time?
I like how there was
literally
all this,
I had the best, and because of this movie, like if we really want to do an actual Spider-Man movie, like we can do Spider-Man 4, we can do Amazing Spider-Man, like we have everything handed to us,
yeah,
and all we had to do was not screw it up,
yeah,
and they almost did. It's bewildering.
I would be honestly very surprised if Morbius causes them to scrap plans again, because Amazing Spider-Man 2. Caused them to scrap plans the first time around for a Sinister
Six. Well, they're
already
making Kraven. They're already locked into Kraven. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. If Kraven happens and it turns out to be utterly terrible, then I'm sure Sony will be like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
No, no, no. How'd Venom 2 do?
It wasn't a bomb.
And you still got to factor the COVID situation.
Yeah, yeah. You do.
Like every movie that comes out probably, depending on how things play out this year, I think if trends continue the way they are now, I think we can get into next year and kind of get past the COVID bubble.
Yeah. I don't know. Venom, Let There Be Carnage made $502 million worldwide. It made $213 million domestically and $288 million international. So, I mean, it's...
See, the problem is in modern Hollywood, that might be just on the cusp of making a profit.
Possible.
Well, the movie itself is... You always got to, like, double the cost of the movie for advertising and stuff.
And I'm pretty sure that's without China. Like...
That's impressive.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
Well, from what I understand, from very dubious online sources, I must say, but from what I've understood, Hollywood's starting to rethink the whole China obsession.
Yeah.
Because China doesn't really give them a lot of... Like, movies make a lot. There's a big audience, but China keeps most of that money.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are we catering?
Why are we catering to a market that we don't really get to see any returns from?
Yeah, and then we can't do certain things because we've got to be, it's got to be okay for the China market. So, like that scene they shoehorned into, what was it, Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3?
Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
With the surgeon.
Yeah.
Which they actually didn't like use in the American version. Tony Stark visits number one heart surgeon in his homeland of China.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, it wasn't in the American version, so.
It's true. Let's talk about Moon Knight Episode 2.
Okay.
I like that you and I had talked about last week with Episode 1 about how Ethan Hawke's character was almost like, we were trying to figure out why is he the villain, because it seems
I didn't say why he was the villain, but he seemed to have a very... He seemed very sensible and relatable, and like,
yes,
you kind of saw his point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week, no, you quickly go, No,
not quickly at all.
Well, it's like I said, it's a slow burn up in that conversation,
but
until he comes to the realization.
Yeah, there's this whole sequence where like he's talking to Steven, which again, it's fascinating. Like, I was almost sad when everybody kind of got, he captures Steven.
Yeah.
He treats him very kindly.
Oh, yeah.
And he takes him for a walk, and he's telling him about his, you know, the world that they're trying to create without crime, without evil people. And he brings him in. He offers him some soup.
He's like, want some food? It's all free.
I'm a vegan, just like you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just talking very rationally, and it's like this cult thing, but they're all very pleasant, very seem very nice. And I was almost sad when suddenly everybody kind of stood up at once, because I'm like, you had to tip your hand, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
But his whole thing is you know, we're trying to make a better world, and then there's this whole thing where Khonshu is constantly lashing out, and
yes, which was brilliantly done. Yes, because. Yeah. Ethan Hawke's character. I can't remember his name for some reason. It's been two episodes.
Yeah, I don't even think they gave it.
And he keeps.
Well, his whole thing is like, don't worry about him. He's like a toddler. Yeah, he's just gonna lash out. Yeah.
That's all he can do without. That's all he can do without you. Yeah. And Khonshu keeps talking, and he's like, Ethan Hawke's character is like, let me guess, I am vengeance.
I'm justice.
I am justice.
I'm true justice.
He's like, can you hear him? And he's like, no. And then he reveals.
No, he says, not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. He reveals that he was the original.
Not the original necessarily, but the avatar before Mark.
Yeah. He said, I was his avatar before I denounced his ways.
Or something. Yeah, that was a little sketchy how that fell out.
But he goes into telling Steven this whole spiel about how his goddess, once she's reborn, they will create a new world where. No evil exists. All evil will be eradicated before it has a chance to bloom. And Steven's like, but he's like, look, I want to kill my boss at work, but it's just a thought. Like, I would never act on it. Mm. He's like, so you're talking that you're going to just kill people for having a thought? Like,
well, and then he goes,
for judging someone for something they may do in 30 years?
And he's like, and how do you know, like you're taking this alligator goddess's word for it. How do you know?
Yeah,
and then he comes up with the best one, which is, so you'd kill a child, like, before they even do anything.
Yeah, and he never says anything.
Doesn't he say something? I don't know.
No, he never does. He just looks at Steven, and Steven's like, but so you'd kill children. And that's about the time everyone had stood up.
Yeah, well, I think they stood up a little before
that.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, no, Steven is the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, Steven's like, because we were like, well, yeah, wouldn't you want to get rid of Hitler?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better?
Yeah.
We were dazzled by his...
But once they brought killing children into it, that's when Steven's like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I thought about this. I'm out. I love the conversation. Like Steven finds out that Mark's married.
Yes.
And that's who Layla is, because she shows up.
Yeah.
And hands him divorce papers. He's like, I don't want any of this. I don't want to get divorced. Like Steven's talking like he knows what's going on.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. He has no idea. But
he doesn't talk like that either. Like, there's a moment that I love where, like, I can't remember, was it a song or a poem?
Poem. It's a French poem.
It's a French poem, and he's like, it's my favorite poem. And she's like, no, it's not. It's my favorite poem. Yeah. And I was like, aww.
Yeah.
Like, he know, like some, even though he's a different personality, some part of him knows.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. He and Mark have these conversations, you know, where he sees Mark in the reflections of everything, and Mark's talking to him like, you know, get her out of here. You're going to get her killed.
Especially, well, don't tell her about the scarab because you'll get her killed.
Yeah. And of course she finds the scarab.
No, he gives it to her.
No, she finds it. She does goes she through his backpack it? And does, she finds it.
Does she? I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Because she's like, you were just going to take this for yourself, weren't you? Like, there's this great moment where they're being chased, like, after, like, she rescues him from Ethan Hawke. And Ethan Hawke, during that conversation, had told him about the cane. He's like, do you know what that is? And Steven's like, yeah, it's just a cane. He's like, no, it's more than that. This cane houses a minute portion of our goddess's power. And he uses it. Steven gets rescued by Layla, Ethan Hawke's character uses it and summons this creature, which is how he summons the creatures. And the creature goes off chasing after him, and she's like, they're fighting, like, he's getting thrown around by this invisible force because she can't see the jackal.
Yeah, you missed a part at the beginning where he comes back to work.
Yeah, he comes back
to
work.
And he's like, we need to look at the security footage.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, someone trashed the loo.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, we need to see the security footage. And they watch it, and they see Steven running through the museum, but they don't see anything.
He's
like, but it should be there. It should be there. It's like, what should be there?
He's like, the jackal.
Yeah, and then you see him walk out of the bathroom after it's been trashed. Mark.
And he's like, that's you. And he's like, that's not me. And it just looks at the camera. You can tell it's a different. It's
Well, you can tell, but that was a little. To me, that was a tiny misstep because Mark's a professional mercenary. He looks right at the camera.
Yeah.
He's got to know there's going to be consequences for Steven.
Yeah. Maybe that's his point. He wants to get Steven
fired?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that worked real well.
Well, because later in the episode, he basically tells Steven, whoever's in control of the body, the longer they're in control, the more power they have over control of the body.
Does he say that?
Yes, he does.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he does say that.
Again, I'm not saying you're wrong. That's boilerplate mental control stuff, but...
Yeah. But it's great, you know, they're getting chased around by the jackal.
Well, they're up in this attic thing, and, like, I don't even think it's not in the room yet, and she's like, some of the suit! Yeah. He's like, what suit? Some of the suit!
Yeah. He gets knocked out, they fight for a little bit, and then he does end up summoning a suit.
Well, what happens is, the jackal gets in and throws him through the... Like, and it cuts outside, and he gets thrown through the window and falls, and he's in a suit.
Yeah, he lands, and he's in a suit. He's in a white suit. He becomes Mr. Knight, which is great, because even at one time, he's looking at his reflection, and Mark, from the reflection, is like, Steven, what are we wearing? Yeah. And he's like, she said to call a suit, and I was like, this is a suit.
Yeah.
And he discovers pretty quick that he's got powers, because he reaches a car bumper to help himself up, and it, like, squeezes the bumper, and he takes it off and looks at it real weird, like, huh, I can do this? And he actually ends up punching the monster, and actually he's like, oh my god, he's like, this is amazing. And even Mark's like, that was a pretty good punch, kid. But he ends up making Mark, giving control to Mark. And Mark ends up, cause he's getting the crap beat out of him. He's like, you cannot handle this, Steven, give me control. And Steven's getting, like, just thrown around. And finally he's like, fine, you know, take control. And regular Moon Knight comes out. And then that's when Layla's like, get it out of here. And they take off across the rooftops, and he ends up grabbing it as they jump off a roof and spinning it around and slamming it on top of the spire, which kills it. And then he comes out of the suit, and him and Steven, like, Steven, suddenly you see Steven in the reflection. Well, he's like, is this what it's like?
It's kind of hard to explain because it's some weird piece of British architecture. It might be some famous piece of British architecture, but it's like a little pyramid that's got, like, windows, and then it's got the spire.
Yeah.
So it's like in a park or something.
But Steven gives a speech about, is this what it's like? And Mark's like, yeah, that's what it's like. It gets easier. And they have this argument where Steven's like, you know, because he finds out that Mark, thanks to Ethan Hawke's character, or so we think, because Mark doesn't really say yes or no, but the Egyptian dig where they found the scarab, all of the archaeologists were, like, bound with zip ties and then executed, like, you know, shot in the head. And it was Mark Spector that did it because Steven's arrested by two cops who work for Ethan Hawke, who's part of his group, and they're looking up Mark Spector, and they find out all this information that he's actually an international criminal wanted for the murder of these archaeologists. So,
to be fair, like, we find out that they work for Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, exactly.
So they are somewhat unreliable. Yeah, they're somewhat, although Mark doesn't quite deny that he did
it. No, that's what I'm saying, is Mark never says yes or no.
Well,
because Steven's like, I know what you've done. You killed those people. Those innocent people, you killed them, because Steven doesn't...
Are they innocent?
Uh-huh, I know. That's the point. And then Mark just gets pissed and destroys the mirror.
Yeah.
So Steven can't talk to him anymore. And then Khonshu shows up, because he loses the scarab, and he throws a fit.
Well, because it was in his pocket. It was in his pocket when he was wearing the suit.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of running around.
Yeah. So he loses the scarab, which Ethan Hawke's character
another guy gets it.
From a homeless man.
Yeah.
And he's like, the homeless man picks it up, and you hear Ethan Hawke's character say, that's mine. Please, if you would return it, I can't offer you anything but shelter and food, but please. And he gives it back to him, and then Ethan Hawke tells him, and Layla was watching this from her little motorbike. She sees all this happening, and Ethan Hawke's like, I wish you could live to see the future we're to create. And he kills the dude.
I mean, he doesn't kill him. He's judged. The dude is judged by the alligator guy.
I don't think he's judged. I think Ethan Hawke just kills him.
No, he was judged.
I think Ethan Hawke uses that judgment power to just kill him, because he's like, we don't need witnesses to the scarab.
Well, that seems terrible.
Well,
it seems like that's a very villainous thing for
him
to do.
It's a dude that puts glass in his shoes and walks around all day. So, yeah,
they got to explain that.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking terrible.
He's suffering. Like, that's an old, weird, religious thing about suffering. Yeah,
suffering for his grievances.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark destroys the mirror, and the Khonshu shows up, and he's like...
Well, you're skipping an important point.
Yeah.
Which is that during the... there's a conversation between Mark and Steven, and then during the conversation between Ethan Hawke and Steven about the whole thing about the avatars. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Mark basically says, look, part of the reason that I'm doing this is because if I don't, Khonshu will go after Layla as his next avatar.
He's going to Layla's next avatar, yeah.
Because Ethan Hawke says something like, I know they promised, because he starts talking to Mark. He, like, literally talks to the reflection.
Yeah.
He says, what did he promise you? He said this would be the last one. Yeah, I'm telling you, it will never be the
last one. There's always one more thing.
There's always one more thing. And Mark's like, well...
Like Columbo. There's always one more thing.
I love Columbo.
I know.
And Mark's like, if I don't, he'll go after Layla.
Yeah. So Khonshu at the end, you know, Khonshu's like, find that scarab, Mark, or else you won't... And he's like, or else I'll have to take a new avatar, and you won't like who's next.
Yeah.
And
my thing is, like, doesn't the avatar get a say in that?
That's what I'm wondering. And Mark's like, where are we going? And he's like, I think you know. And Mark, you know, they show...
Is it Mark or is it Steven who wakes up?
Well, they show Steven first sitting on the bed with blankets on him. And then when they pan out, it's Mark in the room drinking like he hasn't been to sleep.
Okay.
And then he gets up and walks over the window and pulls the window aside and we're in Egypt.
Oh, man.
So it's like, oh.
What do you mean, oh? Where on Earth
I thought they'd be in Siberia to stop the Egyptian gods.
It was a neat little reveal. It was a neat little reveal, but like, how did you not know from a mile away it was Egypt?
I did see somebody on Twitter was like, they were like, it's nice to see a production present Egypt in a way that isn't filtered by like yellows. Because a lot of time when they show Egypt screen, it's like all yellows. And like,
I gotcha.
Yeah. They're like, this is actually what Egypt looks like realistically. Like, it just looks like a regular place.
Well, I do know that some of the production crew, I think, are from Egypt.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a big thing.
Yeah. But my God, brilliant. Like, this waiting week to week for 6 episodes just sucks, man.
It's a really good show.
Oh, it is. It is. And I think that's what helps a lot of these shows, too, is they don't release them all at once so you can binge them, and then people will be like, you know.
Yeah, you kind of binge them and you forget.
Yeah.
You move on.
So it was good. It's worth seeing. I'm excited for episode 3. I want to see because from the trailers we know that they show us how Mark and Layla found this scarab because they show them like.
See, I don't remember the trailer at all.
Yeah,
I know I saw it, but apparently I wasn't studying every detail. I just I just remember it being like he's got split personality and he's very confused and crazy things are going on. I don't remember like all these like. Specific. I don't remember the giant staff you were talking about and them finding the scarab and, you know.
I like, and then this last week we got, because tickets went on sale for Doctor Strange Into the Multiverse of Madness.
Why, yes, I know.
And Dave had to order tickets because I could not get it to work.
You sent me a text and you're like, I can't get it to work. I'm like, okay, I'll try too.
Yeah.
And like, it was chuggy, but I got in there.
Yeah, Dave finally got it to work. I could not. I was like, this sucks.
The worst was I got in, I got our seats, I got to the payment part. All right, then I had to log in. I'm logging as a guest. So I logged in, and then that took forever. And I got the payment. I'm like, okay, I want to do PayPal. And they're like, yeah, we're not playing with PayPal today. I'm
like, yeah, and you're like, sons, you sons of bitches. Yeah. Yeah, that was the worst. I couldn't even get to the payment screen. I would get to the point where you could choose your seats and get ready to go to the next screen to go to payment, and then it would error out every time. An error has occurred.
Oh, I never errored out. I just like had the spinny, like had to wait forever.
And Dave was asking me, when was the last time that something like this has crashed this site? And I was like, Endgame. The day Endgame tickets went on sale, crashed the AMC site, like, for hours.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could get in.
But it's just like, I'm surprised we didn't have that much of a problem with, even with Spider-Man. So,
yeah, no. Yeah. So and Spider-Man was, like, I ordered tickets the day it went on sale, and a week later, they were pretty much sold out. Yeah. So.
Well, I think part of it was, because we're doing Friday, the movie premieres Wednesday.
Thursday.
Well, Thursday at midnight.
Yeah.
Like, the listing was for Wednesday.
Yeah. Screw that noise.
Trust me. Well, yeah, I know, because you have a real day job.
Yeah.
Like a jerk.
Yeah.
Like a productive member of society.
I can tell you the last... Well, I can tell you the
what
last
What I'm time. Saying is, I think Friday was a little easier ride because people were going for the
Yeah. Actually, I can tell you the last time that I went to a midnight movie, and that was Avengers.
Yeah.
Because we were there for the...
The marathon.
Yep. It was the last time I saw a midnight movie.
Well, to be fair, I don't think it was the midnight thing that killed you, almost killed you.
It was the whole day eating junk food. Crap. I almost died that night.
It was great.
Terrible.
Best part is we're leaving. Everyone's screaming at us, no! Because back then, the post-credit thing wasn't quite as ingrained.
Right.
I mean, they had them, but I mean, like, Captain America's was nothing. It was the trailer for Avengers.
It was the trailer for Avengers, yeah.
Yeah.
With that one scene from the movie. Oh, the theater we're in is starting to fill up for Friday night.
Okay, Grays are taken, right?
Grays are taken, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was like, wait, why are our seats open?
Yeah, no, Grays are taken.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's...
I expect.
It's getting there.
Well, I mean, again, I would expect that it'd be a pretty decent crowd. Batman was a pretty decent crowd.
Batman was a pretty decent crowd.
I noticed Morbius was like about half, third full.
Yeah.
It was not, it was, every other film we've seen has been more full.
Yeah, I'd say the Thursday night showing is almost sold out.
That's what I told you. Yeah. We'll try the Wednesday night showing, Mr. Smart Guy.
Oh, no, I bet. And this is the first Marvel movie I've seen our theater show in real 3D for a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not pick real 3D.
No, I know. I'd rather go see IMAX. Real 3D, eh.
I mean, the crazy visuals. Yeah, because someone mentioned 3D the other day. Like, remember that? And I was like, yeah, vaguely.
Apparently,
it was a thing for a while.
I've got a friend by the name of Matt Young who has been buying foreign release, like the UK release Blu-ray versions of the Marvel films in 3D because it's the only way you can get them because they stopped releasing them in the States on Blu-ray and 3D years ago. And apparently, Spider-Man No Way Home is the first release of a Marvel film, of a Marvel Studios film that was not released on home video and Blu and on 3D. Like that
over there.
It's done.
Clarify.
Yeah, it's done. Because they haven't made a 3D TV and
again, it was a surprise, surprise, turned out to be a fad after all.
Yeah. Although what's funny is my 4K projector actually can show 3D movies.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so. Which is why I bought it, because I wanted to be able to
show 3D. I was literally just about to say, I bet that's why you chose that model.
One of the reasons why I chose that model, because you could show 3D movies without a special attachment.
Oh.
Because most projectors, you have to have like a special attachment that attaches, that sends the signal to the glasses, because you have to have special glasses, and it's a big deal. It's a big ordeal.
Sounds like it.
I did get to watch night one of WrestleMania for the most part on my 100-inch screen.
You didn't do best night two?
No, there were issues.
Is this the post show conversation?
No. This was
these were other issues.
This was
this another kidnapped?
No, this animal. This was the dog was not good the first night and kept coming upstairs and downstairs and wouldn't just sit there with me or lay next to me.
You've got to work this out because the home theater is going to be a white elephant if you don't get this shit worked out.
Yeah, I know. Which is weird because he was good when I went down there on my day off last week on Wednesday to like set everything up, and I watched a bunch of stuff. But he laid down there with me all friggin' day. It just Saturday he just was up and down and up and down. It was driving Carrie nuts, and she was like, at first she was like, "Well, I'll go down there with you tomorrow night. We'll watch it downstairs." And then she was like, "Well, couldn't you just watch it up here?" And I was like, "I mean, I can. I'm not happy about it, but I will."
I mean, you just spent thousands of dollars for this stupid home theater.
Yeah, I know.
Why use it because a small dog is
agitated? Oh, trust me. I get that used against me. I don't know why you built the home theater because you're not going to be able to watch anything while Bear's around. I'm like,
okay.
Like, come downstairs and watch. Like, tonight she's like, "Well, go record the podcast and then come home. We'll watch a movie." And I'm thinking, up here or downstairs? Because I'd much rather watch a movie downstairs.
I bet it's up there.
I'm sure she's going to be like, "I'm comfy."
Because she's got a big comfy chair and she can.
Like you,
I mean, Brent. To be fair, you don't have real chairs down there.
Right I now. Do not, but our zero gravity chairs are very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I got to get prepared for this weekend. I'm going to start taking pictures for auction number two.
Yeah, got to get rid of more of your things to keep building this boondoggle.
That's right.
Springfield's own Big Dig.
Wow.
Okay, you're building a home theater system that you're never going to use.
It's not true. It's getting used.
You're never going to use it. You never, okay. Let me correct. You're never going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, there's the argument there.
Because the difference between you and I is if this little mutt gets on my nerves, she can just go in. I don't care if she goes in the crate. Now I got ear-canceling headphones. Or ear-canceling. Noise-canceling.
Ear-canceling headphones?
Yeah, they can't. Yeah.
They canceled my ears!
They canceled my ears, so I don't hear anything.
My ears got too political.
They are noise-canceling headphones because they canceled my ears.
My ears got on the bad side of the woke mob, and they've been canceled.
Well, they did now. Smooth move, X-Lax.
Yay.
I don't know. Elon Musk just bought Twitter, so.
He didn't buy Twitter. He bought 9% controlling interest, which puts him on the board of the director, which means nothing.
Okay.
It's 9%.
Had he bought 60%,
we'd be talking differently. I don't think anything's going to change for Twitter. Everybody's like,
well, apparently,
yay!
Like, you've got to get congressional approval to get 14%.
Yeah, so.
It's still something. Just saying, they might want to, like, I think the party's starting to end.
Well, good. I mean, if he destroys Twitter, so be it.
I don't think he's going to destroy it. I think he's going to co-opt it.
Eh.
Or, you know, not even co-opt it. Just like, hey, guys, let people have fucking conversations on this site that's about having conversations.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah, calm down.
People disagreeing with you is not a microaggression.
Yeah, that ain't no shit.
Like, you guys, I think part of the reason they embraced the whole COVID thing is because they didn't have to go out in the world. Because in the real world, people fucking disagree with you. Yeah. And sometimes you can't call their manager and get them fired.
Yeah.
It sucks. Believe me, I know.
Oh, I didn't know if you knew this, but in the first two episodes of Moon Knight, and apparently in every episode, there's a QR code somewhere in the episode.
No, I didn't know that.
And if you pause it and scan the QR code with your phone, it gives you a free issue of the Moon Knight comic book.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat little... kind of a neat little little thing. Oh, apparently the box for Transformers Legacy Motormaster has been leaked. Because we're going to get the Stunticons.
Apparently we're going to get the Stunticons.
Well, we've got one of them in this line already because Dragstrip was released. Yeah. Aren't the Stunticons one of your favorite combiners?
No, they're not one of my favorite combiners. But they
you
are,
do like them.
They are a combiner that I get.
Yes.
I tend to get the bad guy combiners.
Yeah.
They're probably my least favorite. Well, I mean, of the ones that I get, they're probably my least favorite.
Really?
Which is why I didn't realize Dragstrip had been released. Yeah, I like the Combaticons and I like the Predacons.
Nice.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah, I like the Combiners a lot. I like when they do the Combiners a lot. I got most of the Combiner Wars Combiners. I don't think Did I ever... You? Well, I got the Aerial Bots. I got... the Stunticons. There's a third. Yeah, they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah, you have yeah, that. Yeah.
I almost got all of the Protectobots.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm missing two.
That was when they would do like a weird extra one that wasn't one of the vintage ones.
Yeah.
And then you had to like go get the vintage one usually. Like they would re-release. Because I remember with the Stunticons, they had like two different. There was one that was like not a vintage guy, but... the vintage guy was like a exclusive or somewhere.
Yeah. And then with the Aerial Bots.
And same with the Aerial Bots. And then with the Protector Bots, one of them, in the old days, one of them had a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't fit in scale.
Yep.
So he's like the chess piece.
He's the chess piece. And they made a new one that's like this rescue van or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. But still, I always like the Combiners.
I love the Combiners.
Yeah. I think they did. They did a modern version of the C ones, the C cons.
I don't know if they did them. Maybe they did the C cons. I think they did the horror cons, like real stealthy.
Yeah,
like they'd release one like every other way.
Yeah,
or
they
something.
Did do that because I remember the shark.
Remember the ape?
Yeah, yeah. Some of those I just couldn't find and didn't have the money for. So
you know,
now I'm just buying the.
Movie-based.
Studio Series 86 stuff, which I need Perceptor. Okay. Must find Perceptor.
I saw a bunch. I don't think I saw Perceptor, but I saw a bunch in like a weird new box.
It's the Legacy box. It's like this multicolored...
It almost looks like Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of those at Target.
Yeah. So, good times. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up the episode of this week. We'll be back next week with more Moon Knight talk and whatever else pops up on our radar.
Sure.
So make sure you tune in then. And until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.